Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaming Mennonite Church. Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania. We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaming Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning and welcome to our worship service. It's good to have each one of you here. Special welcome to any visitors among us. Hope you're all enjoying that extra hour of sleep. You're feeling very revived. So no one should be dozing off today, right? We're blessed to be here and invite you to join me in an opening prayer. Lord, the whole reason we gather together is because of You. This church exists because of Jesus Christ and what You have done on the cross for us and how You rose from the dead, how You offer us new life. God, we're here on this earth, in this world, which is stained by sin, and our lives are stained by sin and the effects of that. But thank You, Lord, for the power that You give us to live in victory over that. And I thank You, Lord, for the hope beyond this life. And I ask that our gathering together today would bring glory and honor to You, that we would really worship You, and that we would also be an encouragement to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we begin our worship time together, I invite you to stand and turn to number 527 in the Mennonite hymnal. 527, we praise Thee, O God. We'll sing all five verses.
Thank you.
And could I invite the ushers to come forward to receive this morning's offering? As you notice in the bulletin, it's always listed what the offerings are going towards. And this month, it's going for our gaming missionary support of the Flams in Alaska, Millers with Wycliffe, the Miners in Ukraine, the Phillips in Amsterdam, and Esther Schneider in China. Let's lift up this offering to the Lord, please. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for giving us, each of us, the opportunity to join together as a family, as a community in you, to worship you, to receive from you, and to give back to you. Father, we pray for each one of our supportive missionaries this morning, that you use these gifts this morning to mightily raise them in their work, in your work, in their ministry throughout the world. Thank you for that gift that we can give back to you, knowing that's all from your hands. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sunday, Bishop Carl shared with us about taking courage and talking about Joshua. And one of the things that connected with me on that thought was today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Maybe I'll move over here. So I'd just like to take a moment. Short time at the beginning here, and pray together. There are things, if you're able to stay for the meal afterwards, I'm guessing it was Darlene, I'm not sure who all, or her class, that put the things on the wall, on the stairway, through the church, of things related to those who are being persecuted for their faith. So, I feel very inadequate, honestly, in praying for them, but we're going to take some time to pray for them now. God, as I think about praying for people who are persecuted for their faith, I just recognize that I sit in comfort so often and I don't worry about food or clothing or shelter. I don't fear for my life. I can choose to study the Bible when I want. I can choose to pray when I want. I can choose to come to church when I want. But there are people around the world who that is not the case for them. And we pray for them now. We pray that you would give them strength. We pray, as your word says, for their persecutors, that they would come to know you. We pray for your will to be done in these situations, God. We'd ask for relief and for safety and for comfort and protection. We pray for their families affected by persecution of individuals, of imprisonment. We pray for churches who've lost pastors or members. We pray for all the refugees who are fleeing areas of danger. God, remind us that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you that you are in control of all things. Sometimes our earthly eyes, that's difficult to see, but I thank you that you are, Lord. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Joshua, we're kind of walking through the Bible, or maybe better, kind of flying over the big picture of the Bible. There are many things we haven't touched on. We were in Exodus for a while, and then we kind of skipped a couple books. I tried to just note a couple things of things we didn't preach on or teach about. The tabernacle was one thing that was significant in the experience of the Israelites, and that practice of offering sacrifices for years and years, and how that was a foreshadowing of Jesus as our sacrifice. All the examples of the Israelites complaining about different things as they traveled, and how that can relate to us in our Christian lives. We often complain about stuff and don't follow His way, and the Israelites certainly experienced that. There's the account of one of those times when God sent snakes among them, and He then, in providing healing for that, He had them make a bronze serpent and to hold it up on a pole, and they were to look at that. And Jesus refers back to that account in saying that just as Moses lifted up this snake in the desert, so I'm going to be lifted up. That was something that happened in the parts that we skipped. The account of Balaam and the famous talking donkey, that's in the parts where we haven't looked. But here we are in Joshua, and our text today is from Joshua 3 and 4, chapters 3 and 4. I'd invite you, if you have a Bible, to turn to that. Kind of theme for this time, as I am focusing on, is on transitions. So Moses was a key leader for the Israelites. And now, you may remember last Sunday, Carl kind of started off with, "Moses, my servant, is dead." You know, the reality of that, and it's change. Transition is happening. I'd like to ask an audible question here that I'd like to get some responses. What are some things that, what are some transitions you experience in life? What are some transitions that you have gone through? Could be small, could be big. What are some times of transitions? Marriage. Thank you. Retirement. Children. Empty nest. Moving. Changing jobs. Death. Thank you. Those are all significant times of transitions. How many of you remember your first day of school? Can you remember anything about your first day of school? Luke, you might be the oldest one among us, and you remember your first day of school. You remember that? Remember anything about it?
Well, I was asked to write my name on the blackboard, and I wrote Luke Hawk.
Okay, so I don't know if you caught that.
I guess I didn't know how to spell my last name.
So he was asked to write his name on the blackboard and misspelled his last name, spelled H-O-T, Luke Hott. Thanks for that. How about that? There's our daughter. Okay. We'll give you some grace then. So our daughter Abby, on I think her first day of school of kindergarten, and Anna kind of the wannabe, looking forward to her first day. Transitions. You mentioned a lot of the ones that I had thought about. Another one I had written down was driving. You remember your first trip on the road by yourself when you didn't have to have mom or dad with you? Parents, maybe you remember the first time you got in and let them take the wheel. Transitions. A significant transition for me, another one I put here was just being called to being a pastor. That was, I think, at our my ordination service. It's a significant transition. We all face them, and here in Joshua 3 and 4, this was a huge transition. It reminded me of some other significant times when there was kind of a leadership. You know, in times of transition, the leader can kind of make or break it. And I was thinking about history. I'm not terribly, I'm not a huge history buff, but I thought about the Civil War time period and how our country was going through a lot of struggle, and Abraham Lincoln. And I was doing a little bit of research on him. I was thinking that he was a Christian, or I wasn't sure exactly, but there appears to be some debate about, you know, how much he was a follower of Jesus, but he certainly said things or had a number of quotes about God. So I don't know about his salvation per se, but he was a key leader for our country in a significant time. There's a few things that I'd like to read about some of his life. With the country greatly divided over slavery at the height of Civil War that already had taken lives of hundreds of thousands of men, Lincoln was certain his purpose was to preserve the greatest democracy the world had ever known and to ensure its government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth. Tied to the conviction that his work was intrinsically important, it was Lincoln who consistently found the courage to invigorate the spirits of his cabinet and his troops during the country's most dire and desperate hours. I'm not sure if this was a quote that he said, but it was kind of the heading of this part, was "malice towards none, charity for all." Malice towards none, charity for all. Adjectives routinely used to describe President Lincoln included compassionate, kind-hearted, and immodest. Speaker of the House Schuyler Colfax once remarked, "No man clothed with such vast power ever wielded it more tenderly and forbearingly." While Lincoln had fierce personal ambition, he also had the rare wisdom of temperament that consistently displayed grace towards those that opposed him. He took great pains to reestablish rapport with the men who defeated him in early political races. This was kind of interesting to me. And he famously made a, quote, "team of rivals" by appointing to his cabinet the three men that he had defeated for the Republican presidential nomination. That's interesting. And a quote that he had in relation to kind of his leadership: "In order to win a man to your cause, you must first reach his heart, the greatest high road to his reason. In order to reach a man to your cause, you must first reach his heart." So Lincoln was a person who was a key leader during a time of transition. Let's look at Joshua 3 and 4 now. It's pretty detailed. I think what I'm going to do is read chapter 3, 4, kind of continuous how it actually happened. But I'd like to begin at chapter 3, verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Verse 4 stood out to me. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away, at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Chapter 4 continues kind of giving that account. It also reiterates this command to take these 12 stones, and they're going to serve as a reminder to you of what I did here today. As we read through it, that verse 4 jumped out to me initially. This is a place you have never gone before. Basically, follow me. You haven't gone this way before. This is kind of like uncharted territory. It's a time of transition. And follow me, the ark represented him. Follow me and the way I'm going, and that's how you'll know which way to go. And that's how you know what to do. That's an application for each of us, I think, as we experience transitions in life. Follow Him. When we feel like we haven't been this way, I don't know what to do, I've never experienced quite this way. And really, honestly, isn't every day kind of like that? Every day is different. You think you might know what you're going to experience that day, but really each day we don't know what's going to happen. And it's like the children of Israel, not knowing, not going this way before. Follow Him. I'm encouraged in verse 5 by Joshua's confidence. This is before it happens. And in verse 5, listen to what he says. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. You know, he isn't thinking, okay, God told me to send out the ark and the water's going to stop and I hope that happens. No, he goes out and he says, God's going to do something amazing through you. He's confident in God. Where is our confidence? Where is our confidence? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about leaders in critical, vulnerable times. I thought about a movie clip, actually, but it's a movie from something that happened, a real life situation. Apollo 13. I don't know what you may or may not remember of that, but we have an old VHS videotape of Apollo 13, and if it's accurate at all, let's see, where do I have that? We'll go back here. I'm going to try to show a 30-second clip of that movie of that historical account. So this would have some audio. Maybe I'll set it up briefly. So Apollo 13 was a space mission, and stuff went wrong, and they were worried about just getting the astronauts back to Earth without them dying, without everything blowing up. And so the guys in the background, one is like the PR guy and talking to the TV and newspapers about, what are we going to tell the public? Their heat shield's failing. They have all these things. It looks like they're going to die. What are we supposed to tell them? And the guy in the front is kind of like in charge of the Houston, the center, NASA's central headquarters type thing. And he shows some confidence in the situation. So we'll try this.
Parachute situation, the heat shield, the angle of the trajectory, and the typhoon. There's just so many variables. I'm a little lost.
I know
lost.
What the problems are.
Okay, I'm back there.
Is the typhoon still present from the splashdown?
Yeah.
Parachute situation, the heat shield, the angle of the trajectory, and the typhoon. There's just so many variables. I'm a little lost.
I know
lost.
What the problems are, Henry. It'd be the worst disaster NASA's ever experienced.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Okay, I don't know if you could hear that at all, but basically the guys in the back were saying, it's going to be the worst disaster that NASA ever experienced. And this guy says, with all due respect, I believe this is going to be our finest hour. And that's kind of the confidence I see coming from Joshua. His confidence isn't in, NASA's greatness or NASA's greatness or, their capabilities as humans. His confidence was in God. And that showed up in his actions. The people did what he commanded them to do. And it's interesting to me, when did the water stop flowing? When they put their feet in, right? It didn't stop before that, and it was dry, and they walked across. It stopped when they took a step, when they took a step of faith. And I think there's an application for us, too, in that when we understand God's direction and a calling for us to do something, and we actually take a step in doing it, that's when God follows through. That's when the water stops. What transition are you experiencing or facing in the future, or maybe in the midst of right now? As you step out in faith, God's going to bring His will to pass. In in this account, basically I see kind of three areas that can apply to us. One is, what confidence? Where is our confidence when we face transitions? Joshua's confidence was in God. The second thing is, what do our actions display? Or how do our actions respond to what God calls us? The actions of the priest was to step out in obedience to Joshua's command. And that's when God showed up and did the miracle. If you read, I think it's in chapter 4, it's interesting to me that everybody had crossed over and the priests are still out in the river, and they don't move until they get a command to move. They stayed there, and Joshua doesn't tell them, all the people are across, Joshua doesn't tell them to come out of the river until the Lord tells them. And they waited. They waited on God's direction. And that showed their action. So, confidence. Where's their confidence? Where were their actions? And then, how do they respond when God delivers them and makes this way through the floodwaters? And He gave them a clear kind of visual example to remember for themselves as well as their children and people after that. And that was these 12 stones. One from each tribe was supposed to take a stone from the river, from where the people, the priests were standing, and take it up. And they set it up, I believe it was at Gilgal, the next town they went to. You know, I don't know what ways God has shown up in the transitions of your life, but if God gives you a way to remember that in a tangible way, I just encourage you to do that. Set up that stone, those stones, those pillars of remembrance, of acknowledgement of God's faithfulness through those times of transitions. When we came back from China, this was a thought that God had given to me. It's a small thing, but you know, we had a 80-some page photo book made of that experience. And it wasn't a cheap book, but I'm so glad that God called us to that, and we followed in that. And it's a simple reminder of an experience that we kind of felt like we stepped out as a family and as a group that went. So for us, that in a small way was like those rocks, a tangible reminder of God's faithfulness to us. As you face transitions, may you have courage like Joshua. May your actions display faith in Him in stepping out. And as He comes through in your life, may you find ways to give Him praise and to tell that story to other people. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for the account of Joshua, the incredible transition that was from Moses as leader to Joshua as leader, and for the encouragement it must have been for Joshua to hear You say to him that, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with You. Just like You separated the waters of the Red Sea, I'm now separating the waters of the Jordan. I'm with You. Lord, You know we all face transitions of different kinds. And as we experience those, God, I pray that You would help us to put our confidence in You. I pray that our actions would display faith in stepping out in You. And that as You are faithful to us through those experiences, that we would find ways to give You praise and to proclaim in a way of remembrance, proclaim what You have done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
the one hymn that's in, listed in our hymn book here under that reference is number 311. Guide me thou, O great Jehovah. Please stand as we sing all these verses together. Number 311 in the Midnight Hymn Book.
Guide me, O thou great
things would you like to share with the group? You can raise your hand and a mic will be brought to you. Any praises or requests?
Hi, this is Lisa Souter, and I have a praise. Just being in conversation with Jared since he's gone, he's just been growing and learning a lot in his faith in Christ, and that's just a real blessing to hear how he's learning and growing. So you can praise God with us and continue to pray as him and his team, with along with Lydia, are going to be going to Nepal after Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Doug Musselman. Last month was our Pastor Appreciation Month, and we thank you so much for with Phil and Lynn and Mary and Steve and Darlene and all you do for us. But I was still thinking, well, we're in a new month now. Of all the other people who are serving this church, we give thanks for Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, nursery. The list goes on and on. I just want to give thanks to all those servants in our church.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you for the many of you who have blessed and encouraged, all of you really, who have blessed and encouraged us. As a leadership team, we want to say thank you for that. And
this is Debbie. I just want to highlight the Lancaster International Conference that will be held over Thanksgiving. We're looking for host families. It's a wonderful experience. You would receive your guest or guests on Thanksgiving morning, and then Sunday afternoon you would be your final time with them. But if you would do this, I'm sure you would find it to be a great blessing. I put some brochures in some of your mailboxes. Please do give it some thought. If you have questions, talk to me.
Thank you.
just want to highlight the one announcement in the bulletin about the members meeting tomorrow night about the building. I encourage you all to come out because it will affect you.
You can also continue to be in prayer for our conference. It was proposed, board proposal for us as credentialed leaders now to vote on a decision on the proposal to disaffiliate with Mennonite Church USA. So I'd encourage you to be in prayer about that. As a leadership team, we are in support of that proposal. So that is how we plan to respond. If you want to speak into that at all, you're welcome to talk to us, but I'd encourage you to be in prayer for that. Okay, I'll invite you to stand for a closing prayer. And Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you that we can share some of our praises and concerns, and as we interact more closely in smaller settings, I pray that we would be an encouragement and blessing to one another, a prayer support as well. We specifically want to pray and thank you for the good experience that Jared and Lydia have had so far in Youth with a Mission. We pray that you would continue to bless them and help them to grow in you. We pray for their team as they prepare to go to Nepal. Pray that this would not only be a significant time of spiritual growth in their lives, but that you would bless their outreach and their opportunity to connect with people in other parts of the world, and that those people will be drawn to you, Lord. We thank you for many ways that we can serve one another in our church. I thank you for the leadership team that I'm a part of and the encouragement I get from that team. And I thank you for Bishop Carl, and I thank you for each person who serves and uses their gifts here in our local body. I pray that you would help us to thank and encourage and affirm one another. We thank you for the opportunity for the Lancaster International Conference and for families, people to host individuals, and I pray that you would lead those you want to do that, and I ask for your blessing on those interactions, those relationships as they meet, as they just spend a short time together, God, that you would bless that, and it would go really well, and that people would see Jesus in those day-to-day life settings and be drawn to you. We pray for our conference and our bishops and the changes, the transitions that we face in a broader church, and we ask for your continued leading and guiding in that. We pray for the members' meeting, the opportunity for questions and answers with the steering committee, considering the possibility of whether we should continue down a road of the possibility of building or adding an addition here. I pray that you would lead and guide our thoughts, decisions, and direction. And we thank you for the opportunity to share a meal together and for the effort to raise money for those who are persecuted for the faith. We give you praise, honor, and glory. And as we go from here, Lord, help our confidence to be in you. Help our actions to be stepping out in faith. And help us to give praise for the ways you have showed up in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.